This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by the McKay Group, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Motor and Auto Group Service Department, and Johnston, Hicks, and Griffith. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Iowa Realty, Smith's Body Shop, Pierce's Pumpkin Patch, Bank Iowa, and Pella Corporation. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the condition of the agricultural economy? In the third part of a five-part series on agriculture, let's go in-depth with Ag Banker Leslie Miller with Marion County Bank. Leslie, can you give us an overview of the current state of the agricultural economy in Iowa? And let's just take it all the way out to whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, well, some of the things that I would like to touch base on are the things that are making the headlines right now. You know, we've all seen some headlines talking about milk being dumped because the dairy producers were geared up to produce milk for schools and restaurants, and that milk would go to a certain area of the country to be processed, and it can't go there anymore. You know, those plants can maybe produce those little 8-ounce cartons of milk to ship to a school, but they can't produce cheese or milk in gallons or whatever. So that milk doesn't have any place to go right now. And so the dairy farmers are being told to dump milk because there's an oversupply, and they don't know what to do with it. You know, the positive side is if the dairy producers are dumping it, they can spread it out on their farm fields, and, you know, hopefully it will add some fertility and not go down the drain by a processing plant and add to sewage and stormwater runoff. So, you know, at least if it's dumped on the farm, you know, it's not as big a problem as if it would be dumped at the processing facility. The tough part for those dairy producers is, you know, they're dumping, you know, somebody that's dumping 48,000 gallons of milk is basically setting fire to a $7,000 check. You know, they are not getting money that's needed to feed their livestock and survive. So it's tough times for these dairy producers. And the other side of that coin is for our consumers. You know, people are going to the grocery store wanting to buy milk or cream, and it's not there because they're consuming more at home, and the industry is not set up to supply milk that can go to the homes. So that's a big problem. Dairy farmers, the beginning of the year, they were getting about $18 a hundredweight for milk, and now they're getting about $13 or less for their milk. So they are really feeling the pinch, and you'll start to see more and more articles about that. And a lot of them were having tough times before that, and they just aren't really whole yet. So more recently, we've seen on the pork side, again, the same problem. You know, bacon was a big deal with fast food restaurants and you know, sit-down restaurants, and they don't need that bacon now. So they are actually sending pork bellies, where bacon comes from, to rendering plants, which is the equivalent of throwing them away because they can't use them fast enough. The supply chain is not set up to ship, you know, for example, McDonald's has, you know, the round bacon. Well, you know, they don't sell much round bacon to consumers, and it's in, you know, giant rolls that, again, the consumers can't use. So that it just is not being made, and the shelves for pork are getting emptied pretty fast.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Dutch Mill Supply, De Blumenhof, Ag Resource Management, and Marion County Bank. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Culver's Appella, Mahaska Bottling Company, Norm Rosendahl Tiling, and Verduft Agency.
I continued my conversation with ag banker Leslie Miller with Marion County Bank.
Beef, we had a situation with beef where the very first week of lockdown, we'll call it, or of quarantine, box beef prices went up about $25 a hundred. So that meant that the beef in the grocery store became much more expensive. The bad side of that from a farmer standpoint is the farmer's cattle went down about $20 in value, or $20 a hundred in value. So that, you know, that's like $250 a head less money that fat cattle producers were getting for their cattle. You know, since then the boxed beef actually peaked about $50 a hundred higher, and the cattle prices bottomed about $25 a hundred lower. So the cattlemen are losing $250 for every fat steer that they send to market, and the packers are making $800 or more for every steer that they kill and ship to a grocery store. Unprecedented margins that are being made by these packers. They're just making a killing. And again, the people at the grocery store cannot find beef, and it's because the supply chain is not set up to ship beef to grocery stores. It's split between restaurants and grocery stores, and so it's very troubling for the consumers, you know, and yet the cattlemen would love to have it be so much different because of the losses that they're taking. The packers, somebody needs to be looking into the packers. And, you know, price gouging is supposed to be illegal in this environment. And to me, what the packers are doing is, you know, classic price gouging from the standpoint that they're really holding up the supermarkets and they're really holding up the cattle producers. So, again, hopefully somebody will be looking into that. I know there was some action at the federal level where they talked about that, and they need to. And then cow-calf producers, which is, you know, of course, the front end of our beef supply, their prices or their cattle have come down in value. Their calves have enough that they're getting about $180 less for every calf that they sell compared to what they would have gotten in January. So, you know, the whole thing has triggered shortages in the supermarket and losses for cattle, hog, and milk producers that are being felt pretty dramatically right now.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Laley, Van Mon and Seed and Chemical, Don Cron CPA, and Heartland Co-op of Prairie City. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Sully Transport, Two Rivers Cooperative, Earthworks Inc., and Tri-County Veterinary Clinic.
I continued my conversation with ag banker Leslie Miller with Marion County Bank. What's happening with corn and soybeans?
On corn and soybeans, so I went back and looked at the charts. If you look at a January, beginning of January price on beans and look at where they are today, they've come off about $1.30 a bushel, which would be like the equivalent of about $7 an acre less that a farmer might get for the beans he produced compared to what he would have gotten the first part of January. On corn, we've come off about 55 cents. So that's equal to about $100 an acre less that a producer would get for corn right now compared to what he would have gotten the first part of January. Now, we have a situation where some producers have forward contracted and they may have locked in those better prices. There's a lot of crops that are not contracted yet. So that makes it tough for the producers that haven't had an opportunity to do that. I don't want to sound negative. I'm going to throw out a bit of positive, hopeful news. But you know, there's an old adage in the grain markets that grain usually will go up in value during an election year, and that's not going to happen right away. But hopefully, we'll see some values pull up a little bit as we go into summer and early fall. Of course, that's going to depend on weather markets and, you know, what it looks like yields are going to be and those kinds of things. But it's really at a point right now where some of the speculators that trade on the markets, they're actually talking about going in and starting to buy corn. So maybe we're seeing some bottoms.
With oil prices so low, that has to be really hurting ethanol.
Yeah, it has hurt ethanol. Some of the ethanol plants are closing down. And we have had second, third-hand information of ethanol plants that might have contracted with farmers actually backing out on those contracts. They're claiming force majeure, which basically is a clause that says that if there's an unanticipated act or a natural disaster, they can get out of those contracts. And so some farmers that thought they had corn sold at a pretty good price are finding out that they did not. The one thing, so these ethanol plants are starting to shut down because of where the price of oil is. The one thing that I don't feel like we've done as much work on as we need to do, part of the byproduct of the production of ethanol is what they call DDGs, dried distillers grains, and those are fed to livestock. Just because the ethanol stops being produced, and of course DDGs stop being produced, that means that people that are feeding livestock have to go someplace else for that feed. And what they're going to do is they're going to go back to corn. It will take the USDA a while to figure this out because they're economists. They're not animal scientists. But hopefully we'll catch on to the fact that even if ethanol goes away, our feed usage should increase because we're going to be feeding bushels of corn instead of pounds of DDGs. So, again, it's bad that ethanol has gone away. That does add some cushion to the market, but that does not mean that all of that corn will go unused. Some of it will go back into feed. And so that will help put a little bit more support under that corn market. But, you know, there's so much in the news. We're still trying to factor in what this shutdown of our economy actually means, and until we get that figured out, it's hard to predict where the floors are in any of the commodity markets, as you know, as well as the stock market. So it's unprecedented times, and right now, in the early stages, it looks like it's going to be very difficult moving forward for our farmers in this area. And, you know, again, hopefully we'll see something happen from a weather standpoint or a usage standpoint that gives us some support. There is a USDA report that comes out next week. The supply and demand report comes out on April 9th. And they're predicting that the carryover on corn is going to go up. And beans will stay about the same. So we'll have to take a look and see how those figures come out compared to what the traders are predicting.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Dowie Pest Control, the Pella Fairway, Lighton State Bank, Shomo Mats and Humble Insurance, and Jeremy Dingham and Concrete. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Steenhook Appraisal, Twin Cedars, Farm Bureau Financial Services agent Jeff Arkema, Marion County Extension, and Church & Dwight in Oskaloosa.
I continued my conversation with ag banker Leslie Miller with Marion County Bank. Any good news you can share? I mean, you've touched on a couple of things.
It's good for Iowa farmers potentially, but maybe not for North Dakota or South Dakota. Before the last report in March, the State Departments of Agriculture were sending information in to USDA, and in North Dakota, the State Department of Ag said that 75% of the 2019 corn crop was unharvested. That was as of the March report that we got. So as a result of that, USDA is going out and they're going to survey five states to find out what happened to that corn that was unharvested. Because one of the big unknowns with these USDA reports has been the assumption that every acre that was trapped in the field in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Michigan, and Wisconsin, that they were going to be harvested and that their yields would be about what the yields were on grain that was harvested. Well, most farmers know that that's probably not going to happen, that those yields will be reduced. A lot of times corn that's left in the field over the winter, the test weight on the corn falls quite a bit, and so that impacts the yield. But USDA hasn't actually built those figures into their estimates, and so they do need to survey those states and find out what's happening. And you know, again, from a great for Iowa, not so good for those other states standpoint, if there's still a lot of corn in the field in some of those places, that ground can't go back to corn. They just can't get the corn, get it turned around and get it planted to corn fast enough to be a potential frost next fall. So, you know, those are some things that farmers should be aware of, that they could be listening to the radio and listening for reports about that. But that could again give us a little bit of a spark, a little bit of a push on our prices, and hopefully allow us to get a little better price action set in place for next fall. Another piece of good news, or better news, at least I could say, that farmers should keep in mind is that with some of the recent legislation for the COVID-19 rescue package, there's a program, the Payroll Protection Program, which some of the larger farmers that actually, you know, write checks for their employees, they could take advantage of that program and potentially borrow some money at very low interest rates, and potentially that money could even be forgiven. Also, they do have provisions in that bill. There's supposed to be $9.5 billion that's available for beef, dairy, and pork producers. Now, unfortunately, they're estimating the national losses on cattle right now at about $8 billion. So, you know, that pot's not going to be big enough to make up everybody's losses, but hopefully there'll be a little bit of money that can come to producers from that program. And then they also put $14 billion back into the CCC program, which is the one where the MFP payments have come out of. Now, that's about half the level of what they've had in the last 2 years to spend. But hopefully that means we might have a MFP 3.0 program that can help some of these corn and soybean growers. Nothing's assured there. You know, we're just going to have to see what happens. But it could be that there'd be some money to tap into there as well.
Well, thanks, Leslie. Thanks for your time.
Yes. And take care. Everybody stay safe out there. Wear your masks and wear your gloves.
Thanks to Leslie Miller for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.